this week, Donald Trump met with North Korean leader Kim Jong-un, but bombs kept dropping at home in Washington, D.C. Ed Blakely is a former Washington insider now living in Sydney, Australia. My name is Sean Britton from the radio station 2SER. Find us every week on iTunes, Wooshka, Facebook and Twitter, US of Ed. Michael Cohen speaking to the House Oversight Committee today. Has just wrapped up, in fact, a couple of hours before we're speaking now, called Trump a racist, a con man, and said he wanted him to lie about property dealings in Moscow during the 2016 campaign. Anything we didn't already know, Ed?
No, but he said it so well and so convincingly, and he added a lot of evidence, documents, and the like, including, in fact, he had some recordings of these conversations. So this testimony was a lot better than anything we've had before. And I think it'll stick with the voters much better. He was so calm, so collected, so knowledgeable. And it was so much like Trump. Everything he said was characteristic of what Trump would do, the way he would do it, and how he said it. But he'd added a couple of things. One, there are other witnesses to the things he says that most of us didn't know. For example, the person who's his accountant was a witness to things. He had signatures from Junior on some of these checks for the women. So he really laid it out. The Republicans tried to make him out to be a liar and a cheat and a bad man and a person who should have known better, but it wouldn't stick. It was a very good, strong testimony. What were the highlights? Three. First, he showed that the president violated the law convincingly and knowingly with respect to the payments to the women. Secondly, he was very clear about Trump finagling the books to make himself look wealthier in order to get higher on the list, but also he lied with his federal reporting to the people of the United States. And thirdly, he made a clear link to Russia with respect to this Trump Tower that is being built there. So all in all, I think it was very convincing, very good.
Trump has hit back on Twitter, of course, claiming that Cohen is lying to reduce his prison time. And I love this quote, he did bad things unrelated to Trump. Trump there referring to himself in the third person again. You got to say that's one hell of a defense. He also did bad things that had nothing to do with me.
Well, they both did bad things, didn't they? So whose bad things are we talking about now? Trump's bad things, his bad things. They were both doing bad things. So one bad doesn't make a good. I think that's a very, very feeble response.
And some are wondering if the Cohen testimony could lead finally to a subpoena for Trump's tax returns. At this point, like seeing an actual unicorn. What do we think, Ed?
I don't know how we're going to see those tax returns, but I think they're going to come out somehow. You can't hide this stuff forever. And Trump is now really in a box. He's got too many things going on. What Cohen had to say, the tax returns, and the Mueller report. I think that he's in a deep box, and more lying is not going to get him out of it.
Moving on to some of the other news of the week, House Democrats, along with 13 Republicans, have voted to rebuke Trump's national emergency measure over the wall, passing it on to the Senate. Now, if the Republican-controlled Senate were to approve it, then Trump has vowed to veto the bill, meaning we're looking at very little actual real results likely to come out of this. But it does beg the question, how hard can Republicans come out in defense of Trump's very unpopular emergency?
I think they will defeat it because they need 60 votes. It looks like they've got the 60 votes in the sense that there are four or five Republicans that are going to move with the Democrats. So that's all it takes. But Trump will override that veto, and then it will be in the courts. There are 26 states that are suing to stop this. If they do this in serial, Trump will be a great-great-grandfather before it ever hits the Supreme Court.
Donald Trump's also met with North Korean leader Kim Jong-un in Vietnam this week. What needs to happen now to make these talks a success, Ed?
Something in writing. We haven't had anything in writing yet that I know of, other than a simple promise that I'm going to do good and perhaps destroy some weapons. But until there's something in writing, really strong, well-written material, there's nothing to believe here. So I'm not putting much stock in this until I see something in writing.
My understanding is Trump, the American position, is actually backing off any of the stated goals.
Well, that's not surprising. And now that's another defeat for Trump. Here he's supposed to be pulling rabbits out of the hat. His own intelligence people told him that nothing was going to happen and things were getting worse. Now we all know it. I don't want to pour too much cold water on this, because I think the fact that Trump is meeting with this man means that something's going to have to happen. Young wouldn't be meeting with him. Kim Il-sung would not be meeting with him unless he thought he could get something. And I think he can get something from South Korea and Japan, and the world will be a safer place.
Staying abroad for a moment, Venezuela. Mike Pence has come out strongly against President Nicolas Maduro, saying that he and his allies were blocking aid and moving to issue new sanctions. What's going on, Ed?
Well, we all know what's going on. The United States wants him out. So do a lot of Latin American countries. It's only a matter of time. Everyone's hoping military force won't be required. The United States may use some surrogates in the form of some Brazilian army and some Colombian army people to go in there. It won't take much of an armed force because his own army are really not behind him. So I think if any military force approaches the border, it's all over. And I would anticipate these armed forces will come from Colombia, where Pence is, and from Brazil. Brazil has a very right-wing government now, as we know, and Colombia owes the United States a lot. So don't be surprised if the next week or two we see a pincer movement from those two countries.
Meanwhile, at home, a former senior campaign staffer for Trump this week filed a lawsuit accusing him of sexual assault back in 2016. We won't get into the he said, she said of the case, but just to compare these constant accusations at Trump to the Clinton affair, how is it these things just barely make waves around Trump, Ed?
God only knows. This is ridiculous. And it won't go anywhere. It's just more noise. Nothing's going to come from this. And I'm sad to say that, but Trump, you know, you get to a point where you can't hear it anymore. This business with women, no one can hear it anymore. It's just too disgusting, too salacious, and I don't think anything will come of it. It won't be used in any of the campaigns because you just can't go any lower than we are now.
Well, certainly that seems to be flying by what's appearing in the media right now. Hey, looking ahead to 2020, you have said before Democrats need to have a plan going into the next election, not just to be the anti-Trump party. And one of the key areas they should fight in is healthcare. Seems they're listening. Dems to announce Medicare for All plans for 2020. Thoughts?
Yeah, that is the plan, Medicare for All. It may be modified a little bit so that the rich people don't get a ride on Medicare as they've gotten on everything else. But I think there'll be some combination of something like we have, Medicare, which we have, being the basic insurance for everyone, covering base doctor's visits and prescriptions. That's really the big deal. Then people have to buy insurance on top of that. And no one can be turned down. So I think the insurance coverage will be slightly modified from Obamacare, but the provision of not being turned down for pre-existing illnesses will be easier with Medicare taking out most of the burden.
And this one not involving the US yet, but one we should keep our eyes on. India earlier this week decided to cross over the Pakistani border to conduct airstrikes in what's been called a jarring escalation of hostilities. Now Pakistan has shot down two Indian jets, captured one of the pilots. Fears, of course, of nuclear brinkmanship between the two countries. What's your take, Ed?
This is scary. I'm scared to death of this one. These are countries that have nuclear weapons. This is really, really scary. And they're not in control. The generals are running these countries, basically. So the nuclear weapons are not really under tight control. And this could start a real Third World War if we're not careful. They can't use these weapons very, how should I put it, precisely. The weapons or bombs might hit almost anywhere. If they happen to hit a Korea or if they happen to hit something else because they were sent by missile, God help us. So this is a scary incident, and the whole world needs to be paying attention to it. And I hope the President of the United States will get off his tweet and, since he's close by, see what he can do.
US Event is produced in the studios of 2SER in Sydney. Help support the work we do by going to 2ser.com/support. Ed and I'll be back next week to talk the latest in US news and politics. Subscribe on iTunes and Wooshka to stay up to date, and show us some love on Facebook and Twitter at US of Ed.